The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We're happy you're here. This is a podcast about wedding planning. It's right there in the title. Just so if you were expecting something else, it's all about wedding planning, and we are wedding planners.
Yeah,
and we'll say the word wedding 100 times.
Every time you say the word wedding, you have to put a dollar in the jar.
Actually, that's a pretty good segue into the topic.
Yes.
Every time you say the word stress, or you answer when somebody's like, hey, Marsha, how's it going? Haven't seen you at the dog park in a while. And your answer is like, I'm still wedding planning. I'm so stressed out. You have to put a dollar in a jar because you're saying it too often.
You're saying it too often. So, you know, I used to have this thing when I would tell my clients, like, just so you know, we don't use the S word. Okay. Mm-hmm. S word being stress. Okay. I don't want to hear that. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to do that. But, you know, I have to say that I'm not going to start off this episode saying, Don't stress.
Yeah, because we know we get it. I mean, my God, we do this professionally.
And just so you know, as a wedding planner planning your wedding, I get really stressed out too. Okay?
Yeah, we're not supposed to admit that, are we?
We're not. But you know what? I'm gonna pull that friggin' curtain.
We're gonna get real.
I'm gonna get fucking real, okay? You people stress me out.
Let's talk about stress, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
No, seriously, you stress me out.
Yeah.
You do.
Because we are like sponges, just like I think akin to a therapist. I don't know how therapists do it all day long.
Either.
In hour-long increments, people just come in and fling everything at them, and you're not like rubber or glue. You know, you can't just be like, I'm not going to take that on today. Today I am rubber.
Yeah.
But it's not that we at wedding planning stresses us out, because we do know what we're doing, and most of you, this is the first time you're planning a wedding. Of course, you're getting married. You've not planned a wedding before. We've planned, let's say, 100 weddings, but it's the interpersonal relationship that we can't take the stress out of every wedding that we plan, because we're working directly with clients. And in that way, it's project management, but it's extremely personal.
Yeah.
And we get to know you and your families and your relationship and your bank account.
Oh,
like
yeah.
We get to know all that. So all of that is
when you're on your period.
Yeah.
You know,
when you're feeling really anxious, you know, we'll get emails from the same, let's say, bride. I'll get an email at 6 a.m. and I'll get one at midnight. It's as if they're from two totally different people. like they're just the tone is so different that it's like takes me a second to recalibrate and help problem solve or troubleshoot using maybe different language than I would have in the first, you know, maybe I'm more upfront, or I'm more handholdy, or I'm more empathetic and I can see how you feel that way, or I'm more, what is the problem that we need to solve right now?
Right.
So it is like, we can't say we don't get stressed out. We wouldn't expect you to not get stressed out. That being said,
and I think the more stressed a client is, depending on what the stress is about, it stresses me out more. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I know her by now. This is her MO or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like,
she needs to get it all out.
She needs to get it out. Then she's going to be fine. Then she's going to realize this is the way it should be done. Or then she's going to realize, like, no, he's wrong. I'm right. Because there's always that dynamic in a relationship, right? Your partner. Is your partner right all the time? Do you think your partner's the smartest person? Don't you? Did you feel like that in the beginning with Lance when you're like, God, he's so smart? Like,
I don't feel like I ever felt like that.
Oh, really?
Like, really attracted to him, and but I never was like, he's smarter than me.
Oh!
Is that terrible?
No! I think that's amazing.
What we are a study in opposites attract. Mm. Like, where I am too much, he is too little. Like, what he's really good at, I'm admittedly really bad at.
Yeah.
So it's that, like, I think couples fall into the two categories. Either they're so opposite that somebody across the table from them is like, oh, I get this. I see that you say that and then she says that and together. Or they're extremely similar. And I've worked with those kind of couples too, where they're actually almost like sharing a brain and definitely operating as a unit.
Yes.
So those people would probably both say that their partner is smarter than them if they were playing the shoe game or whatever. Yeah.
Right. And so it took me like 20 years to figure out that actually, Jose Luis, as much as I love you and I love him and he's very talented and he is very smart, he's not as smart as I thought he was.
Maybe
he's
it took you 20 years right. to realize you're just as smart.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. There you go. There could be that too. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. But what I'm getting at is oftentimes I'm finding when we're in the planning process that the couple sometimes has this conflict with something. You know what I mean? Like, each of them has a different idea. For example, music. It often happens, music. So this year, I had this lovely couple who, for him, as per usual, one of the most important things was music. Like, he didn't care about much else, but he wanted a band. He wanted a band. And not only did he want a band, but it was very specific what he wanted in a band. He wanted, you know, a male lead singer. You know, he wanted specific genres of music. He wanted, I think it was supposed, he wanted like 7+ piece band, right? And so, where she was like, okay, you know, like, let's give him what he wants. But honestly, I would totally go with a DJ, you know, because I want to hear music the way I listen to it on, you know, Spotify, right? And we went through, I think I told you about this, so many bands. Christy, you guys, like, between the bride and myself, we probably sent him easily 50 bands, you guys. It's crazy.
So this is a dual, this is a, I don't know, two-sided issue with him being really opinionated about the band. One is that he's super involved and it is some, it's a priority of his. Mm-hmm. The other side is that it's extremely specific what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after much research,
he still couldn't.
Yeah, it seems like it doesn't
like
exist.
Anybody. Yeah. He didn't like it. And we were getting closer and closer to the wedding day. And honestly, I was shocked I found this many bands even still available.
Right.
You know, but it was like, this was stressing her out so much. And then they started fighting about it. And it became this thing. And it was like, I wanted, you know, usually at some point after a little while, the person who wants something will start to kind of come around and be like, okay, let's just explore this other avenue because maybe what I'm looking for isn't available or, you know, or maybe what I want, it's not that it isn't great, but it's not that something else wouldn't also be great.
Meet those needs.
Right. So, it took months. It took months. And she was so upset. You know, she would text me like, I am going to cry. I went in the bathroom and cried. Like, I'm so upset. I'm so irritated. I can't deal with this. It was so much stress. And then I was getting stressed. And I was like telling my husband. About, and I was like, I'm about ready to say, I was just about to the point where I was going to say, sorry, guys, this is as far as I'm going to go on this. Like, I can't go anymore. And we have to find somebody.
I don't know that I've ever said that.
I didn't say it. I didn't get there, but okay. I did say.
You drafted the email in your head?
I did.
That
I
was
did.
Good how you just said that. Yeah. I can't go any farther.
Right. I just can't go any
farther. I've gone as
far
as, like, my legs are jelly.
Yeah.
I'm going to fall on my face.
Right.
I can't do the marathon
anymore.
Like, I've
never done this much research for anyone in, you know, what is it, 18 years. This is crazy pants. And so I finally was like, I would mention DJ every, you know, few weeks. Nope, no DJ. Nope, DJ. No, DJ bad. Nope, nope, no. But finally, we went with a DJ. That was amazing. Flew him out from LA. The guy is incredible. Oh my God, you guys, amazing. So anyway, that was one example. And so some of you listening might be having this issue with your partner, you know, and all I can say is, yeah, it's stressful. Just, I don't know, you know, hopefully they'll come around.
Yeah, that, I mean, the ongoing pro and con list is a big part of wedding planning. It's also a big part of life married to another human.
Compromise.
So
it's,
yeah, so you sort of have to get used to it. I mean, this, we always say, like, remember the wedding is just the start of the journey. The real work comes in with marriage. What happens after the wedding day? The wedding is a, you know, a party.
Yes.
So throughout the planning process, and we have several episodes that touch on stress and planning, specifically managing stress, how you talk about it with your partner, distribution of labor with wedding planning. We have these episodes. But yeah, but this idea of, like, taking a step back and remembering not to get too wrapped up in planning the wedding. It's not your full-time job. It should not be the most important, biggest thing that is taking over your entire life for a full 12 months. It should not feel that way. And if it starts to feel that way, there are techniques or decisions that you can consciously, deliberately make to get some perspective, bring it all back down to earth, take a planning break.
Take your planning break.
You know, talk to each other about other things other than wedding planning. I mean, there are ways to diminish the feeling of stress and anxiety, and that all-encompassing, like, fuck, we haven't talked about anything at dinner for
other
the last
than this.
Yeah, 8 nights in a row, all we've talked about is one aspect or another, and I don't want to do that again.
So
if you,
I think,
don't want to, don't.
With this subject specifically, if you are not seeing eye to eye on a vendor, right? I'm not saying to give up right away. I'm not saying that your partner needs to give in or that you need to give in right away. You do have to give it a good try. But 50 is too much. You will drive your, like, you'll go, like, you'll go in a padded room. Don't do it. It's not worth it, you guys. So 50 is too much. I think 20 is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think 20 is kind of crazy. Just give it a good go, but keep your mind open, okay? So another, I wrote some quotes from texts and emails that I got.
This is specifically
this wedding season.
In, like, yeah, Michelle's last,
this,
what,
yeah,
6
wedding
months.
Season ended for me. It's over. I feel less stress on my shoulders, right? I'm going to take my wedding break, kind of. But here's some quotes. I had someone say, I don't have the bandwidth for this. Like,
mm-hmm. I've said that.
Like,
yep.
I can't do this anymore. I can't.
It's good to be realistic about your bandwidth.
Yeah,
it
absolutely.
Is.
It's my bad. Like, I'm used to going on 3-4 hour meetings and talking nonstop about weddings. But my normal people who don't do this can't. I can't do that. It's too much.
Well, it's
2
the same,
hours,
like,
max.
Remember when we had the financial, Dan Hines financial guy on the podcast? One of a very, very good episode for those of you who haven't listened to it. All about financial planning. Great. He was pretty good at, like, speaking in layman's terms and, like, kind of holding our hand through what we were talking about. But I remember distinctly thinking, like, as he was talking about one thing or another, oh, if he goes too much past what he's trying to explain right now, he will lose me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not so much bandwidth as it is, like, I don't understand this language.
Sure.
But it's good that it's good to communicate that. I think, like, good on your client for actually writing those words out and being really explicit about it. Like, this is too much for me. I don't have the bandwidth for that.
We were on a conference call, and she said, I can't do any more of this, right? I don't have the bandwidth. And I was like, hey, totally fine.
Yeah.
Let's end it. Like, it's cool. I can talk for friggin' hours.
Yeah, you know? And you can work things out after the, you know, you're like, there's plenty of work I can do on your wedding without you.
Like, I've got plenty from this.
That's why you've hired me.
Yes. So another thing I heard someone say is, my mom is trying to reduce my stress, but she's actually causing me more stress by doing this. And it was so interesting because it was a beautiful mother-daughter dynamic. And mom wanted to take it off of her, but knows her daughter, right? But by mom saying, she would call me and be like, Michelle, I'm going to take care of this, that, and the other. So just talk to me directly, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then a few weeks later, there was nothing done. You know, those tasks were not marked off the list.
And then that causes more.
And then that caused stress for daughter because she'd be like, wait, I thought this was taken care of, you know, and I can do this. Like, mom, I can do this. No, 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 no. I've got it. I'll take care of it. I'm going to get to it next week. No, no, no. I can do this now, mom. So that's another, you know, area. And we've talked about this so much. And you all have written to us so much about moms and moms and daughters, dynamics. Moms and sons, you know, mother-in-laws.
And parent involvement.
Yeah.
Helping versus or including paying.
Yes.
And how that, like, who makes the decisions when somebody else is funding it more than we are? That is a source of stress for a lot of you. I'd say that's been consistent since we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing
mm-hmm.
from people specifically about, like, okay, so how do we make this or this decision when they want to do this, but we want to do this, but it's our wedding, but they're paying for it. And we've done a lot of yawas about that. And we talk about it. It's been brought up consistently. Mm-hmm. And our advice generally goes back to the same core values of being as transparent and upfront as possible from the beginning. And if a parent says, we're going to pay for most of the wedding, or yes, we're paying for the wedding, to have a list written down of what you think that actually includes, and or they write the list of what they think that includes, and then you fill in afterwards. But it might take some awkward conversations. It almost always includes awkward or uncomfortable conversations because you're talking about money and you're talking about a lot of money. So we get it.
Yeah, money's a big one. But I was just thinking about earlier in the year, there was clients that I had, and mom and dad came to every meeting that we did. It was a very close family. Mom was really close to mom and dad. Mom and dad were paying. And mom was actually really helpful. Like, she was amazing. And dad was there to support both, you know, mom and daughter. And then groom was at every meeting too. It was lovely. It was a lovely, very close-knit family. But sometimes, have you ever noticed this happening? Even with ourselves, right? We know that we can lean on our parents, right? And in times of stress or irritation, like, we tend to have this thing where we take it out on our parents.
Or you revert back to acting like a petulant teenager.
You roll your eyes. And your mom says something, or she chews her food a certain way, or she, like, wears that shirt that you friggin' hate that's an awful color on her.
This sounds really personal, Michelle.
Mom, why? You know, like, I've sat in meetings where the client is so stressed. Mom does something, it sets her off, and she just, wah! And mom takes it because she knows exactly what's happening. You know, she knows she needs to absorb, like you said, the sponge, right?
Yeah.
Absorb it. And so, you know, I see that a lot. I see that happen a lot, you guys. So just be good to your mommy, daddy. Just give them a good, you know, at the wedding, make a speech and say how amazing they are, or get them a cake or whatever it is.
And to that note, it is, and I have had to have this conversation, not had to, but I have had this conversation with several different clients at all different points of their life or different age. Like, it is helpful, maybe necessary, to remember that, yes, your wedding is all about you and your love and your relationship, and it should be representative of what you care about as a couple, where your values and priorities are. But it is also a very big day for parents. I have two sons. My oldest son is in fourth grade. I'm nowhere near marrying them off or planning their own, their weddings. But I'm a mom to my core in that every big life event,
losing
change
a tooth.
Yes, all of that is like a part of my heart and soul is involved in that. So a wedding, while it is, a big day, it's easy to say it's a big day. It's so stressful. It's so much money. It's so important. I need it to be the best day of my life, which I always try
to
stay away from. But just remember that for your parents and your parent figures, your grandparents, if they, if you're close to them, anybody that has been in your life since you were little and has seen you grow up and has a vested interest in your future, like it's a big day for them too. I never forget to hug the moms and the dads on the wedding day and say, like, I'll throw my arm around a mom when they're watching their kids have a great time and dance, and I'll be like, this was big, right? Or like, look how happy she looks, or you raised an incredible son. Like, I'll say that, and almost never can I say that without tearing up. And it's like, we're at the wedding and I'm a big baby, but it's a special day. It's a special time of your life, but it's not just about you.
Yeah.
So it's worth remembering that through the planning process. And then also when you're thinking of how or if you should honor your parents or your grandparents during the wedding day, remember that it's a big day for them too.
Absolutely. Another quote here. I'm usually the one in control. I don't know how to let go. Another mom quote.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, this is one of those moments that happens often, especially when I'm planning with a family. Like when I do month of, I do get inserted. I do get to know the couple pretty well, but it's for a shorter amount of time. When I'm planning a wedding from start to finish, and I planned 4 weddings this year from start to finish, you really get to know the people. You get to know them well.
Yeah. You jump start that relationship because it starts with, tell me everything you want.
Right. And so, again, this quote, though, was mom. And I worked with her a lot. And the wedding was in her home, at her home, rather, in the backyard. I did I did a lot of weddings this year at homes. But she has a big, beautiful home, and her husband owns a big company. And so she hosts a lot of events, whether it's family or business or friends. And so on that Friday morning, I was on the phone with her, and I was going to be there all day for the install for rentals with Kathy. And I could just hear in her voice the panic. Like everything was just coming up to the end, to the top of her. Like I could just see, and over the phone, I could feel her stress, And she's like, well, what about this? And how about the valet? I just really don't understand how this is going to work with the valet. And what about when you get here? And then how am I going to? And I said to her, I won't say her name. And I said, Mom, I said, I need you to listen to me. And I said, I understand that this is a lot. I understand this is your home. And she said, but I'm always in control of these events. I don't know how to let go. And I told her, like, I had to have the talk, like, this is your daughter's wedding and this is a big deal for you. You deserve to enjoy this. You've got to let it go. Put it in my hands now. I will take care of it. And she's like, you're going to make me cry. And I'm like, just cry. You need to cry. And she just started bawling, and then she felt better.
You know? Michelle, as a very, like, that is so something I would say, like, I'm always in control and I just can't handle it.
Yeah.
That is me, not just like me when I'm the mother of somebody getting married, but me, like, now, there would be so much comfort in being able to, like, sort of verbally, like, vomit all my fears and anxiety over somebody. And then for that person, that competent, professional person that I trust, to say, hey, it is time for you to give this to me. I will handle it. Because how often in my life, I mean, I see a therapist and I see doctors when I need medical advice, and I go to my kids' teachers when we need to talk about something. Like, mm-hmm. I seek out professional help. But how often does that person actually, like, say to you, put their hands on your shoulders and say, listen,
give it to me. Yeah.
I can do this. Don't worry about another thing. Like, that would bring me so much comfort as a potentially high stress type A, when I want something done, I do it myself type of person. So that response, like, I got goosebumps when you said what you told her, because it was firm, but there was, you were giving her the opportunity to, like, surrender. And I doubt she gets that very often in her life, because people count on her to be the doer.
Exactly.
And to get things done.
Exactly.
So there, that had to feel like just a great release. I probably would have sobbed all over whoever told me that, even if it was like someone towing my car and they're like, listen, lady, I'm going to tow your car. And for the next 4 hours, I'm going to handle your shit. And I'd just be like, thank you, because I can't tow it myself because I don't have a tow truck.
He's like, sometimes I'm going to call you an Uber because I don't want you in my truck.
Yes. Sometimes we just don't have the tools needed to suit the moment right then. And when somebody that does have those tools and that experience and that confidence comes along, it's like a best friend that's just like, you're a mess. You have a newborn. You haven't showered in 5 days. You need to, I'm going to clean your bathroom, cook you some food, hold your baby, and pump your breast milk for you. Yep. And you just think, like, oh, here's my boobs. And there's like all the cleaning supplies are in the garage, because you trust that person in that moment. That is a huge relief and help. And wouldn't it be nice if she had been able to, like, release all of that at the beginning of the process? But for some people, and I include myself, it's just not, you're just not capable of that.
It was a moment for her and I, because we had some definite, not, I wouldn't say conflict, but we had some moments where it was like,
are you gonna do that? Know, am I gonna do that? Why'd you hire me?
I won't do it. You can't do it. I gotta do it. And after that moment, it was like, when I saw her, I showed up to her house, we were both like, hi. You know, like, we were the whole time.
You've been,
like,
through something.
I love you. I respect you. Yeah, so that was good. And it happens.
I'm looking up, in case you're seeing me look down, I'm looking up that one person, one listener posted on our Facebook page a while ago, on our group.
Yeah.
Something about, like, having reached the point where she has no fucks left to give.
Yes.
In terms of, so I'm trying to find her post, because
that was a good one.
It had some good advice too. And it had a lot of comments of people just being like, I'm there too, girl. You know, like, just have a glass of wine and what, yeah, whatever. So I'm going to try to find that one. But,
and then let's not forget that while you're planning your wedding, life goes on. Life does not stop. So, I mean, you've got stresses everywhere, not just from the wedding. You've got life events. So
sure. And the world is on fire.
And the world is on fire. You know, I've had a client working on her dissertation, having financial problems, family stress.
There's parents
stress,
with cancer.
Illness. Yes. Yeah. Moving to a new home. I have clients moving to another country.
Professional stuff.
A vendor who's, like, pulling out. Right? They've lost their business, or they can't make it to the wedding after all. A vendor not being responsive when you're trying to get information. One partner is doing all of the legwork and you're stressed out and you're wondering why my partner is not so involved. What does this mean? Is there something else behind it? There's so much. And then there's a whole social media thing we talk about all the time. Like, is there enough decoration?
Crazy, you know, expectations.
Yeah. Is it going to look good? Are the people going to like the food? What about
competitive
the music?
Wedding
do we
planning?
Do we have cocktail napkins? You know,
I just
I
went to
glassware?
A wedding.
Like,
and the last wedding I went to had blah, blah, blah. And I really loved that. And I think we should do that, except multiply it by five.
Yes.
Yeah. And at a certain point, I think it's, I would say it's usually around 28, 29 years old is when you're going to a lot of weddings.
Yep.
And if you're also planning your own, you're taking mental notes the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. don't want to do that. Or, oh, that seemed really nice to have a nice cocktail before the ceremony started. Right. Or I couldn't even read that fucking escort card chart that they had because the calligraphy was so tight and it was so far away and there was a table in the way. And, you know, we don't even know. Whatever. People get like right. ideas, but they also get ideas for what they don't want to do, mm-hmm. and which is all fine. And so is going down the rabbit hole of like, quote, inspiration online. What is not fine is feeling or letting the feeling of being less than consume you. Like, and when I say that that's not fine, it's because my heart goes out to all those couples that reach out to us and are like, I only have this much money to spend. And I feel like I'm no wedding planner is going to want to work with me. Or is it totally stupid that we aren't going to serve alcohol or we can't afford? And it's always we want to lift everybody up to be like, it's still your wedding day. It's mm-hmm. still a celebration. It's mm-hmm. still about love and this decision that you two are making. So I hate it when I hear that anybody's like feeling wedding shamed almost. Because their wedding is not going to make the cover of Martha Stewart or the front page of Style Me Pretty. That kind of grass is always greener, you know, competitive, social media infused BS, it can really bring you down. And
you know,
we don't want that.
No. And I will say this. I've done weddings this year specifically. I've done really, really high-end wedding. And I've done like an average wedding. And let me tell you, money, it doesn't matter. You're going to get stressed no matter what. It is details no matter what. Do not assume that if you have a big, huge wedding budget, everything is easy and sky's the limit. Because it's not, you guys. It's not. And I would say that my clients with the really high budget in some ways felt a lot more pressure to deliver to the people that were attending. So money, it doesn't matter if you have money does play a role in stress in that you might not have enough of it, but it doesn't matter what your budget
is. But rich people
is.
Aren't any happier than
yeah,
poor people.
Yeah, that's right. You
and
all
that's,
know that.
You know, life stuff.
Yeah. So I was
reading this article. It was really about like, you know, money, when you make a bunch of money in your life, does that mean you rest on your laurels a little bit once you hit your 50s because you have all this money in the bank? You know, do you retire early or like buy a beach house and live out the rest of your life kind of chilling? And the whole thesis of this article was like, no, actually people, when they get a taste of what $1 million feels like, then they want 2 million. And when they have 2 million, they think, but all my friends have 10 million. And then it's just this ongoing that very few people who make a lot of money actually then just use that money to live off of was the idea. But one of the little points in the article was about how in this years and years of research, they asked thousands and thousands of people, what would you consider the ideal income? Like you've reached what you're going to reach and you'd want to make that for the rest. You would consider yourself well off. What would that income be? And almost across the board, people answered double whatever their current income was. And that goes for like somebody who was waiting tables and made 25 grand a year. They thought, oh, if I only had 50 grand a year, I would be in a really good place. I would be living large, so to speak. But all the way up to the CEO that has a bunch of stocks and stock market and a bunch of investment properties or whatever that actually makes 5 million a year for that person, they would think 10 million is what I really need to be happy. But I thought that kind of applies to wedding planning too. You think, God, we've set our budget. We only have 20,000, but that's 20,000. We're so lucky that we have that. My parents are giving us 10 and we're supplementing 10, whatever, however it works out. But then you get into the planning and you see how that can go kind of fast. Mm-hmm. All those big things you wanted, you're like, oh, that's all adding up. And then before you know it, you've hit that 20,000 and you think, if only we had 40,000.
Yeah.
Now my wedding budget is 40,000. So that's a big part of wedding planning. Stress is management of money realistically and expectations of what that money is going to get you for the wedding day. And having those transparent, upfront, maybe uncomfortable conversations with each other and your parents, if they're helping to pay for the wedding, is pivotal in order to minimize basically how much you go over your wedding budget and how stressed you feel. So, you know, if you're going to stick to $20,000 and you do everything you can to stick to $20,000, but you feel like you're losing your mind for a year trying to like fit things in or cut corners or take people off the invite list, and it's just like a demoralizing, miserable experience, then that's also not a win. Maybe you should throw an extra $5,000 in there just so that you can actually have a life, it might be worth it.
This not having that upset stress that
or hire a
constantly.
Month of planner, even though you can't really afford a month of planner. Yeah. Maybe you edge something out because you're weighing stress on your mind, what the value of that is. Like, and do I have the time to do all of this myself when I could just hire, you know, a damn florist to do it instead of us doing it ourselves? So you're always making those decisions and like kind of doing that balancing act while you're planning your wedding. So of course,
or you just elope.
Yeah. Yes. Also an option.
It is an option.
Yeah, totally.
It is
an
option, you guys. Like,
elope or have a city hall wedding. And
if you're at the point of planning your wedding, or you've just begun and you already find that you've lost who you are, like who you guys are as a couple, because you're incorporating traditions or doing things because your parents want it, or, you know, because your best friend says it's the best, or your best friend is being a total jerk and she doesn't want to wear this dress, or whatever it is. If you're all of a sudden like incorporating your things into your wedding to make other people happy and you're like, why am I even doing this? Maybe you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Maybe you should go take the love of your life.
Go to Hawaii. Hawaii
and go on a freaking vacation and send everybody a postcard and say, we did it. We love you all. You know, I mean, and this is coming from a wedding planner. I know. I'm not trying to freak you out. Okay. And but don't lose who you are.
Yeah. Don't lose
yourself.
Because
that's going to add to your stress and you're going to regret it. You don't want to regret things. You don't want to regret things.
And that goes back to our Don't Get Crazy episode years ago.
Yeah.
When we recorded that, of like, if this starts to blow up, you have the power to pull yourself out. If it starts to blow up, or if it feels like unmanageable, or like I said, just totally demoralizing and miserable and it's a slog, and if you ever find yourself saying to your partner, can we just get married? Can we just go to City Hall. Let's just get married. This is stupid. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, if you say that once, maybe sleep on it. Don't cancel your whole vendor list yet. But if you find yourself having that conversation a lot and kind of fantasizing about that with your partner, you can save yourself a lot of money by, you know, you could travel to 5 cities you've always wanted to see for the price of a wedding day. You could use that money for a down payment on a house instead of living in an apartment for a whole nother year. Like, there are decisions to be made, and there's always, you always have the right to change your mind.
And if it's early the deposit you paid on your photographer, if they're able to replace the business, they can take that deposit and use it toward doing a photo shoot of the two of you at City Hall, you know, on a Wednesday or a Tuesday when you get married. Anyway, we're not saying you have to, I'm not trying to tell you not to have this wedding. I'm just trying to tell you sometimes it gets to be too much. And to that end, if you're stressed out, it's completely normal. Everybody gets stressed out planning a wedding. Even if your friends are going, oh my God, he's being such a pain in the ass. Like, why does he care about that? It's because you do. You do care about that. That's okay. Don't talk to them about it. Listen to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. You'll hear us mention something at some point that has to do with you and or a listener or a vendor. It's normal. Everything you're feeling is normal. And it's okay to be stressed. And that's
her TED Talk.
That's her TED Talk. Well,
and thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Yes, it also is, like we said, very helpful to take breaks. Also helpful to remember not all your coworkers care about your wedding all the time.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah, so that is something to keep in mind, just to be...
Just talk to your wedding planner.
Yeah, just to be realistic about it.
Or you can do consulting with us. We'll talk to you about it. It's always available to you all.
Okay, here's one. It's not the one that I was talking about, but it did get some answers, this post on our community page. Any advice on how to help manage stress? Look at how topical. I'm also not great at delegating tasks, and I tend to take on everything myself. Now we're 2.5 months away from the wedding, and I'm feeling the stress and the weight of it all while also juggling a new job and other life stresses. Therapy is wonderful, but I stopped going earlier this year. I know I should go back, but honestly, it's just another thing I have buried in my to-do list. I feel her on that. So one of the comments from another, this is from a bride planning her wedding, is that writing everything down, even the littlest to-dos, can make a huge difference. And there's tons of advice out there for how to, like, do a brain dump of everything on your mind or list everything that you need to do, but then specific ways of, like, color coding or highlighting or prioritizing. So that's something you could look into that more. But for this bride, she said, if I have four things to do, I think of each of them. If I think of each of them three times, then I feel like I have 12 things to do. So for me, writing it down allows me to keep my thoughts from tumbling around in my head, and it has really helped me with my stress levels. And then this person that posted said, that's a great idea. She definitely has the same to-dos in her mind floating around over and over again, but jotting them down and trying to organize my thoughts is always helpful. And I think that's true too. Do you do that, Michelle? I have like a list. I have a notebook that's blank, blank pages. And I just, every page looks like scribble scrabble to somebody else if they were to look at it, but it's like my list and then my mini lists within the lists and the grocery list next to the like due before noon lists. And sometimes only two things get checked off from that day, but it's still on paper. It's almost it's on paper. It's there to look at.
It's a brain dump. You have to take everything out of your head and put it on paper, whether you're typing it in or writing it down. Brain dump it. It releases a lot. You've got it somewhere noted down. When you're sitting there at your desk, or you have time after work and you get home and you're on Instagram and you're like, I know I should be doing something, open your notebook and look at it. It's helpful. And it's helpful to get that out of your head and off your shoulders.
Yes. And I actually do that even before I go to bed sometimes, because I cannot sleep.
That's a great time.
Because
to
I think I'm going to forget tomorrow to do something. And then another listener commented on that one, that once you have that list, it's really helpful just on a super basic to like underline the things that are must do's and the things that are want to do's or hope to do's so that you can, you know, get one of those want to's, I mean, get one of those must do's off your list first thing every day. And then that'll kind of give you the fuel you need, or it'll let you fall back on that and be like, well, even though the rest of the day was a total clusterfuck, at least I got that one thing done before 9 a.m.
That's one
less thing. So look up some of our other episodes that might be helpful for you on some of these topics, like don't get crazy. And then a lot of this advice that we comment on and then we read other people's advice is on our Facebook group. So that's a good place.
It's growing
for you
by leaps
to join.
And bounds.
Yeah. It's a nice, you know, supportive community, but also people have really concrete advice sometimes that is a game changer. And we've learned some things too, some apps that will, you know, task apps that help, or like ways to hack wedding planning or on the day of. So, join us there. Was there anything else for?
Nope. I think we got it all out.
Okie dokie.
All right, you stress balls, go sit on a chair, close your eyes and breathe for 5 minutes. Do that. Or listen to Headspace. I've been doing that a lot. Headspace is an awesome app. All right, Christy, roll us out.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Please subscribe on iTunes if you haven't already. And if you are on iTunes, you can rate and review us. We love those reviews, but also they're very, very important for other potential listeners to hear about us. So please do that. On Instagram, we are at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and we use hashtag plan that wedding. If you get married and want to share your photos with us or any photos of wedding planning stuff along the way, please do and credit your photographer, and then we'll share it or story it, and we love to see that stuff. We're on Facebook, the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Twitter is at TBWP Podcast. Not that we're on Twitter that much, I should tell you that. But a great way to get in touch with us is email, which is thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com. That's our website, thebigweddingplanningpodcast.com. And on our website, you'll see a list of all of our episodes. You can listen to them, and you can search for the topic that you're looking for. We also have an affiliate link up there, and we also have a Patreon page. Patreon, patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Contributing $5 a month on Patreon or $10 a month is, we cannot tell you enough how much that means to us, and it truly is making it able for us to continue to do the podcast. If you're interested in one-on-one consulting, we do that as well, and we would love to hear from you and tell you more about that, and you can email us about that. And lastly, we have a phone number. If you want to call and ask a question, we'll play your question on a You Ask, We Answer episode at the end of the month. And it's fun to hear your voices. That number is
415-723-1625.
And that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you. Love your show.